News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton. Much of this week, it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Turning up your voice, you want to chit-chat, we can do that. 251-343-0106. That's also the line where you can leave us any text messages that you like. And good morning to you, Sean.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry, I'm drilling into this turtles and salmonella story.
Please.
The story that you had on the news, the CDC has tied an outbreak of salmonella spread across 11 states of small turtles bought online. Outbreak, which has infected 15 people and primarily children, is connected to small turtles purchased from online sources. 5 people have been hospitalized and no deaths have been reported. CDC advises against turtles as pets for children younger than age 5, adults older than 65, and those with weakened immune systems due to a higher risk of infection with severe illnesses from germs turtles carry. My shock in this story is that people are buying turtles. Like,
you can just find a turtle, can't you?
Right, and you got to be careful. Like, they're like, you know, our like the red-bellied turtles. You have protected species out there, and I think I'm probably past the statute of limitations, so I'm okay. But like, kid growing up here, man, we'd find. I mean, you got box turtles, but we'd have we call them Florida cooters. Which, don't Google that. but those little turtles, we catch those and have them in aquariums. I mean, I had like a roadside zoo going on at my parents' house when I was a kid growing up. They tell a story that when I left for the University of Alabama and I shut down my aquariums and sold off all the stuff, they said, this is in the late 80s, that the power bill dropped by $100 a month. Incrementally, over time, I'd added all these pumps and lights and all this stuff, and they didn't realize how much of it. And they said, when you left, it was a big bonus to the family.
So an incremental build-up.
Yeah, because as a kid, I had to get one aquarium, get another aquarium, then get a light for this one, and this is a saltwater one. And, But yeah, we used to just catch turtles.
This is
online turtle purchases.
Online, too. I mean, not even at a pet shop.
No, they were getting them. How that delivery happens for the turtle, I'm not sure. But yeah, remember, you can't, like, there's certain species you cannot take, and you can't sell them, right? Mm. So that's one of the prohibitions there. If you can't trade for anything of value or sell them, the same way I can give you some venison or some wild turkey or some duck, I can't ever sell it to you or trade it for anything of value. That's part of the North American model. Yeah, that's what's been so successful, that you take the monetary commercial value out of them. But if you... I mean, I guess kids these days are buying turtles online. Times change. Just to me, it was like get the box turtle from the yard. I still pull over and move box turtles out of the road.
I do all the time.
But we'd collect turtles in creeks and all that. I mean, that's just what we did. Yeah, we had them as pets. I think I was probably over 5 years old when I did, and I didn't lick them, so I didn't get the salmonella issue.
So how's the salmonella?
Because kids, they're going to touch the turtle.
Yeah.
Right, be doing playing with the turtle or whatever, and then they're gonna put their hands in their mouth.
Oh, kids, I got it.
Yeah, and they're not gonna want. They're gonna say, "You're gonna say, hey, did you wash your hands? Yeah, yeah, I washed my hands.
Yeah,
I do the old sink test for brushing teeth and washing hands, especially with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you brush your teeth? Yes, sir. Walk through and wipe your hand on the sink. I said, it's dry as the Sahara in that sink. You want to rethink what you said there?
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's probably how they get it. They're messing with the turtles, put their hands in. I mean, it's. It's a small story, but it's getting people's attention because it's turtles. So
also, somebody messing with the turtle eggs on the beach.
Yeah, that story.
That is disturbing to me, especially after we had some guests on from a conservation group that works real hard, especially during this nesting season, to make sure those turtles are okay, trying to dim the number of lights that are out on the beach and all that kind of stuff because it disorients the turtles.
Right.
But that's one thing. If you're going to be doing something that accidentally is hurting the cause, but if you're digging up the eggs and all that, that is that's low ball right there.
Well, okay, so and you got to have as many of those hatch because there's a built-in number of critters that want to eat those baby turtles, right? This way it's supposed to be. It's nature. Just want to make sure you get a full hatch so there's enough left over to continue the species.
Exactly. To get to the water in time, I guess, right? This was a crazy story, and it also came, I think it's got a lot of attention. It might be the third story, or it's ranked up there on Fox News this morning because you got the video of it, right? If you have video of something, then it makes it that much more palatable on TV. So a man who allegedly attacked Representative Lee Zeldin. Now, Lee Zeldin is currently in the House of Representatives for New York State. He's a Republican, but he also has eyes on the prize of governor.
Right.
So he is the GOP nominee. So he's stumping around the state of New York. I don't know where Zeldin is from. I don't think he's from New York City.
No, I think he, from things I read, from like maybe Western New York State.
And that's where he was.
Which is a completely different region, too.
Completely.
You get into upstate New York and Western. It's not Long Island. It's not Manhattan.
It's Pennsylvania and Ohio.
That's right.
Basically,
it is.
What it is,
right? It does. And the landscape to some degree favors it, too.
Yeah. And so anyway. He's stumping last night in that area near Rochester, actually. And a guy jumps. Well, he doesn't jump up on stage. You can see he's kind of casual about it. He kind of goes in for a hug. And then Zelda's not exactly sure what that's all about. And they end up going to the ground. The suspect is identified as David Jacobonis. He's 43. He's from a small town in New York State out that way. He was charged with attempted assault in the second degree. He was arraigned.
He said, you see that quote? The guy said to the attacker, the dirtbag said, you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Crazy. So anyway, so Zeldin, who's again running for governor of New York, his words as he tried to stab me a few hours ago were, you're done, but several attendees, including a number of people identified, tackled the guy. He tweeted early Friday, and he also tweeted this early this morning. Law enforcement was on the scene within minutes. The attacker will likely be instantly released under New York laws. Well, guess what? He has been.
So the day he's stabbing, that night he's out?
Yep. He was... Jacobonis was tackled by AmVet's National Director Joe Chenley, according to witnesses. So he's out. Zeldin released a statement after the attack, said thank you to everyone who reached out following tonight's attack in Fairport. Someone tried to stab me on stage during the evening's rally, but fortunately I was able to grab his wrist and stop him a few moments until others tackled him. I'm okay. And again, he thanks the people that were there. But he tweeted, he'll be out because of the way New York laws are. And I'll be darned, that guy is scot-free. Now he's going to face a trial.
Wait, he's not scot-free. Yeah, he's out.
But he's what? He attacked a man on stage that everyone has seen in a video from coast to coast. And he's not in jail today.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
What do you have to do?
Yeah, to stay. Well, I mean... At the same time, we balance the rule of law and civil liberty. At the same time, you got to balance safety. It's what we talk. It's the Anaya's Law discussion. Mm-hmm. It's putting these higher bails and making them cash bails or cash bonds for folks in our area to keep. Because at a certain point, like you said, there's not a question. This person showed themselves to be violent. I would argue some kind of mental condition there.
Yep.
You know, some mental illness. And he's right back out. You know, this kind of goes in with the bigger story of the president who is going to give that speech yesterday till everything stopped because he has a light case of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And all news agencies breathlessly report that. This kind of federal funding coming to police, which is gone on for, I mean, it's not new, but these cities are going, oh my gosh, our crime's gotten out of control. Well, y'all defunded the police. You turned your back on law enforcement in those cities. And what do you think was going to happen? The naivete of I guess things have been so good so long. It happens in law enforcement too. Like, right, you have a crime issue in a neighborhood, and so police come in and shut it down, and things get better. And because things get better, people forget it was bad, and then they say, well, there's too many cops out here.
Mm-hmm.
Too many cops. And then they go away, and then the crime comes back up. Then you got to bring the cops back in to... You know, deal with it again.
I think our city, what do we have, 44 gang arrests in the last couple of mm-hmm. months. It's been bad around here for sure, but it's bad everywhere. I do think that our city is trying to get a handle on it. I think the Mobile County Police Department and Sheriff's Office are being active in trying to eradicate some of this stuff with their arrests. Now, we have new... talk about some of that... technology now that's underway.
Oh, it was like first shot spotter and all that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, and of course, that's after the shots have happened, but
it helps them dial in on kind of where that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mobile Police Department's using, and the Sheriff's Department, and I'm sure the same thing's true in Baldwin County, using a lot of technology, but once again, like my discussions with Sergeant Young on the show, you can't arrest your way out of this. I mean, you can arrest every, you know, that helps. It's good. Mm-hmm. Arrest them, but you got to keep them in and not have them come right back out. I mean, you know, like you just said, I mean, you arrest the people and they come right back out and commit another crime to get money to pay for the attorney to go to court the next time. I mean,
It's maddening.
How we balance that, though, that's always a challenge. How do you balance that and continue to have the civil liberties that make our country better than all the rest?
For the discussion, 17 after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Sean, and your phone call is certainly welcome at 251-343-0106. Coming tomorrow night, Doobie Brothers are going to be at the Wharf. That's also the scene of the Blue Marlin Grand Championships down there at the Wharf. A lot of fun stuff happening there. We do have the Blue Marlin stuff, by the way, is all free. Parking is free and attendance is free, and it's great. We do have a pair of tickets that we'll be giving away before we leave Mobile Mornings this morning. So stay close and stay positive. And you could be a winner. What did the president tell us? It's all going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
It's all going to be fine. And also Brooks Conkle with the Mobile Rundown will run down some of the events that are happening this weekend in and around Mobile, and we'll get to all that. 251-343-0106 if you want to give us a call.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, after the turtle story from earlier, you see, it's not anything new. We have these stories every year, but man, as a guy that spends time in the water and around the water, it worries me. Another Vibrio story from WEAR. They say an Alabama man's battling a case of Vibrio as of Wednesday, often called the flesh-eating bacteria, after coming in contact with it in Little Sabine Bay during the Blue Angels show.
Hmm.
So you hear these stories, they get it. Here's the issue. I think you have to have a suppressed immune system, and then the Vibrio gets in there, but it's bad. I mean, there's people that I know that have had this, and it's bad stuff.
You're talking about you've got to be predisposed with
it's what most people see. We have to have some kind of issue with our
immune system.
Then you have to have an open wound, and then the stuff gets in there. But that stuff is, I mean, people lose limbs from this. Big cutouts and lose whole limbs. It's bad stuff.
I've seen photographs. I've never been around somebody who was a victim of that, but it sounds absolutely horrible.
Yeah, not good. So remember, and keep... Got a wound? Mm-hmm. You got diminished immune system. Think about not putting it in the water.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Do we have time to talk some hot sauce here?
You talking about the nursery?
Yeah. So this story has been, you know, it's, I guess it first came out last week.
It did.
1819news.com has had several stories about it. This latest one from Lauren Walsh says Hoover pastor confirms children punished with hot sauce at church daycare. Another mother comes forward. I don't think it rises to the level of a criminal offense. Those were the words from Anna Sims Barnes, who wants answers and action after she discovered children's daycare was using hot sauce as a punishment. Following the story, Pastor Jimmy Bassam of Hoover First United Methodist Church took to the church's pulpit and confirmed the stories reported by concerned mothers. Quote, it turns out that for some time, years if not decades, our day school has had the practice when a child bites another child or when a child misbehaves, they have hot sauce put on their tongues. This practice has stopped and it will never be done again. Said Barnes was among a group of mothers who went to report the incident to Hoover Police Department after children told her that they saw other children at the school being punished with spoonfuls of hot sauce. I am interested, what were like Tabasco, or we can do some slap your mama? What they got?
Well, remember, I tried hot sauce for the first time live on air.
Yeah.
A couple of Fridays ago.
Which I don't even understand how you are a grown person and never had...
I'm not only a grown person. I'm like at the age where I could expire. So
right.
I waited right to the end.
How you don't... I mean...
I don't know.
My teenager likes hot sauce.
It did not interest me.
It's so good. Now, some of that stuff.
I didn't know.
The habanero, ghost pepper kind of stuff, I don't like that. But jalapeno and cayenne? Since after the police report, the Alabama Department of Human Resources visited the school, found that the day school had been operating illegally because it was not registered in the DHR system.
Wow.
This is
the First United Methodist Church. This isn't some, on the way out of town.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get a lot on the text line about this story. Is enough to shut them down? I think you'd want to know as a parent if that was part of their policy. I think that's information is important.
Did you ever have to
have soap in your mouth?
No.
Okay.
That didn't happen in our. What happened in our house was strapped around my dad's waist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'd have begged for soap in my mouth.
Right, and so but soap was the thing. That's that children wash your mouth out with soap.
Yeah.
Make them have a dab of soap, which they don't like. The hot sauce is.
These are little kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Little preschoolers, right?
Well, it said, I think it said preschool.
That's where, it seems way over the top. But they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but they said they've stopped it now.
Oh, yeah, they stopped it now because they got caught.
So, yeah, it said, it doesn't give the actual ages of the children here, at least where I can see. But
I think I'd read earlier that we're talking 4 or 5 years old, something like that. But it's little kids that do little kid stuff, bite each other, things like that.
Yeah, but sometimes you have biters. Sometimes you have them, they're like little vampire Tasmanian devils. Some kids bite more than others.
They do, but it at a daycare for at the Hoover First United Methodist Church, I'm looking at their website right now, nothing about their...
They haven't said anything, no hot sauce.
Not hot sauce policy, but it does look here. Join us on YouTube. So maybe if I click there, there's the hot sauce highlights. Possible?
Do you think they have it? Like the best, the greatest hits of hot sauce?
I would hope not. That would be bad. But I'm just saying, there is a YouTube click right there.
Anybody out there used hot sauce in this manner before to punish?
I've never heard of that before. Have you heard of it before?
Yes.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Huh.
It was threatened in our home. We never moved on it, but it was threatened.
Well,
and the problem is, I told my wife, I said, the danger is that one right there, meaning my daughter, said she likes it as much as I do. It's not going to be a punishment. Mm-hmm. She'll be like, yeah, give me more. Let's have let's have some jalapenos with it.
If you do it in your house, it's kind of your business, I guess. But if you're running a daycare and you're doing it to other kids' children,
I don't think it's the best practices, Brennan. I'm not saying that, but if they were going to do it, you got to tell the parents what you're doing.
Exactly.
Like so many things in my world, just the way I see things, it's about information. Now, if you have information, and then you choose yes or no, that's a different story. But when I think the big failure here is they didn't tell the parents they were doing that, and they were doing it, that you get a little hot sauce from me there, too, if I didn't have the information.
So, they sit down to parents before they enroll in, and they say, okay, this may sound a little cockamamie to you, but we have found that this really works and does the job. Okay, what is that? When kids bite each other, we put hot sauce on their tongue, and that kind of takes care of the problem. And we do it in a very measured, loving way, and that eradicates the problem.
Backstrap Stacker on the text line said, I use hot sauce on a puppy to keep them from chewing up what they were not supposed to chew. Would never use this on a toddler. I did the shake cayenne pepper until where I've arrived in life now that we have Cavapoos, I always had Labrador Retrievers and German Short Hair Pointers. Yeah, that's the dogs of, since you've known me, I've had Labs and Short Hairs. And when they're puppies, they chew a lot. And so with one particular dog, I did the shake out the cayenne stuff on the thing and then let the dog go over there and chew it. And surprise, I didn't like it so much. Yeah, Backstrap, I've done the same. We did threaten it in our house. We never came through because usually I'd finish off the Louisiana hot sauce or the... Tabasco.
We've also got to talk about what kind of dogs you have now and what their names are.
I don't think that's going to be for public disclosure.
Yeah, I think it's 100%. It's 8:30 with Dan and Sean. Morning from Dan Brennan, Mobile Mornings. Dan and normally Dalton Orwig is here, but not today. It's Sean Sullivan. He's been in much of the week for Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
8:35. Let's go now to McConnell Automotive. Tommy Davis is there. Tommy, what's going on in the lot?
Oh, good morning. I'm just looking over all these pre-owned vehicles we have, certified pre-owned vehicles. The tire is going to lot, and there's no inventory, there's no selection. You're at the wrong place. You need to come see us at McConnell Automotive. We're your one-stop automotive destination. I've got SUVs, I've got trucks, I've got diesels, I've got imports. Anything you're looking for, we have a large selection of pre-owned vehicles here at McConnell, and we will take care of it.
Tommy, if somebody's got a vehicle in mind, you know, a truck or even a sedan, that's what they want, that's what they prefer, you can find that for them?
I can find it. If I don't have it, get in touch with me or Louie or Gene, and we can take care of any of your automotive needs.
And also that body shop back there is maybe the best in the city.
It is. It's very, very good. We just got a new employee back there, Rachel Boyington, who's been in the body shop business. Very experienced, very good, and proud to have her.
Sounds good, man. And people can also find out what they need online as well.
Great, yes. www.mcconnellautomotive.com.
McConnell Automotive, there's Tommy Davis, and you can visit them at Dolphin and I-65. 8:37 with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, not here. Sean Sullivan is here.
I am, yeah. I'll answer to anything, though.
Let's do this right now. Let's get caller 5 for the Doobies. Back to caller 5, 251-343-0106. Doobie Brothers tickets this weekend at the Wharf. It's Saturday night.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Saturday night. Should be great. Should be a great show when you hear the laundry list of hits they had. And so go ahead. Give a call, 251-343-0106. Caller number 5. You're going to win the tickets to the Doobie Brothers. First concert you ever went to?
AC/DC.
Really?
Yeah.
Mobile Civic Center, I take
it? No, Pensacola.
Oh, okay.
A little upstart band called Guns N' Roses opened up.
Wow.
Yeah.
As it turns out, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all right. It's all right show.
Were you eighth grade?
No, I was. I couldn't drive, but I graduated high school. I was 17 when I went to college. I was the youngest kid in the class, but so I would have probably been 14 or 15. Other people could drive.
Okay.
The parents didn't take us there. Mm-hmm. You had a older kid driving.
Yeah.
In I remember the old burgundy Cutlass or something like that with the cloth seats in it.
You can remember the car?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, heading over for that show. For you, it was what?
For me, it was, I think it was the Allentown Fairgrounds had...
Who they have.
Well, it was a good
Peter
show.
Peter, Paul, and Mary or something like that?
No, I'm not that old. It was Supertramp.
That's a pretty good show.
Supertramp was a good show. And the guy and the band that opened for them had one hit, though the artist went on to have some success. Carrick? Anyway, the Ace, yeah. And how long has this been going on?
Yeah, sure. That's remember? Paul Carrick.
Paul Carrick.
And he ends up forming the band. My gosh. You're killing me. Because I did this, for a couple decades.
Paul that's right.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it'll come to me at some point. So, yes.
He was, but they were Ace. How long has this been going on?
Right, sure. That was one of the bump songs here. Ace is how long is Midday Mobile Bump.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool.
But yeah, he was in. I'll check the text line. Somebody will have told me. I can't believe it's taken me that long. All right. And we got some people coming in with their first concerts. Michael says his first concert was Sonny and Cher during the fourth grade. Ow, man. Ooh, that's child abuse.
Man, that came with commercial breaks.
Doesn't have meta, says Jimmy Buffett at Ladd, with little-known brand-new country singer Clint Black.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not bad. We can keep those going on the text line, and I'll figure out the Paul Carrick thing in a second. You see the story about the MPD, three members of Mobile Police Department's K-9 unit?
Yeah.
So this story's up at WPMI, MyNBC15.com, said three members of the Mobile Police Department's K-9 unit, including the current commander, have filed suit in federal court for overtime related to the care and feeding of the dogs assigned to them, or as I know some of these people call them, the fur missiles. That's what they call their dogs, fur missiles.
I like that.
The suit filed by Lieutenant Patrick McKean
And canine handlers Corporal Joshua Evans and Corporal William Byrd alleges that the officers were not paid overtime on regular workdays for feeding, grooming, and maintaining the animals in violation of the Fair Labor and Standards Act. According to the filing, Lieutenant McKean previously worked as a canine handler in 2003 prior to being deployed to Iraq in 2008, and during that time was paid 1 hour of overtime each workday, each weekend day, and each holiday. When Lieutenant McKean returned from deployment and rejoined the police department and the canine unit in 2009, the unit had a different command structure and canine handlers were no longer paid 1 hour of overtime on scheduled workdays, the complaint says, but to continue to get overtime on weekends and holidays. On workdays, quote here, it says, on workdays, plaintiffs began their days earlier than others because they had to feed and water the dogs and make sure that they are fit and ready to work that day. This is a time for which plaintiffs are not paid, though they're performing work-related duties. After work on workdays, plaintiffs take the dogs home with them, where they again feed and water them and make sure they're fit from the day's work. Again, this is a time for plaintiffs that are not paid enough. They are performing work-related duties, end quote. Suit seeks the award of back pay plus interest and declaratory judgment that the practice and policies violate the rights of officers. So, no, may or may not know some of the people in this, and know several officers that do canine. They do have an extra job keeping up those dogs.
He was previously paid for it,
yeah.
And then policy changed in 2009 after he served our country in Iraq.
Yep.
I got all that right?
Yep.
So he comes back in 2009. So are we talking about from 2009 till now?
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like from the story.
Because it's 2022.
So what do you know? Does that fall under? I mean, if you get paid the same. Right, if you get paid the same as other officers, your standard pay, but you have these additional responsibilities with the dog, it did say they still get pay on weekends and holidays for the maintain the dog, but just not on work days.
They don't get the hour extra
during the work day.
Right.
So
I'm just wondering.
Things that unless you do that for a living, you probably never thought about. Like I never have. I never thought about that. And I'm familiar with these folks, and I never thought about that part of it. But yes, it's part of their day.
What do you think about this? What do you think? Well, you were talking about the guy that had monkeypox and COVID at the same time.
Yeah, show off.
In the Bay Area, show off. But this is kind of crazy. The first case of polio reported in the U.S. In nearly a decade was detected in New York State, according to health officials yesterday. When I slated the headline on this particular story, I just thought the word polio was enough because it's like, whoa. State health officials said sequencing determined that the newly detected case is an instance of vaccine-derived polio. The oral polio vaccine contains a weakened version of the polio virus that can be excreted in the stool and transmitted. That vaccine has not been administered in the U.S. since 2000, suggesting that the virus may have originated somewhere outside of the U.S. The Rockland County polio patient is a young adult whose symptoms began a month ago, according to public health officials in Rockland County. That may be on Long Island. I'm not sure. Or it might be just north of the city. The person is no longer contagious, but has suffered some paralysis. Quite scary.
Yeah.
It is unknown whether that's going to be permanent. You just don't hear the word much, so it's kind of alarming.
Things we thought we eradicated,
right.
But we have a lot of people coming in this country from places where they, might still have this. Although I think isn't polio globally eradicated?
I thought it was.
Check that.
Just never heard of it. You never just hadn't come up. But it 10 years ago there was a case in the U.S. So it hasn't been fully eradicated, I guess.
But there's some things that are essentially eradicated. Might be a case or two, but I mean, they're, eradicated out there, and the vaccination has worked where it can't spread out there. So this it's scary to think about that on the polio thing. By the way, a ton of folks in here on their first concerts.
Okay.
David Preston, Loretta Lynn, the first concert.
Oh, you know what? I could have jumped in and guessed that.
Yeah. This unnamed texter said, Dave Matthews Band at the Mobile Civic Center. How about this? Those guys used to come play my college radio show at the University of Alabama. That Dave Matthews kid in the band. They just come in.
They played yours?
Oh, yeah. Like you and I were sitting here. They just come in, set up.
Wow.
They were a baby band back then. There's a lot of bands that you know, come through college towns like that. Well, they're, come play sets and
You know, there's plenty to play. The Soul Kitchen downtown that would come to country radio.
Right.
We have country artists there, and some are on their way up, and then they really hit it big, and they've been in our studio two or three times.
What's great is when I was doing it there, I didn't have all the handlers that I did later on in my rock and roll career, where the record label put this together with the other person, this, that, and the other. It was just like, hey, we're coming through.
Yeah.
Can we come on the show? Well, sure. Let's see. Doesn't have Meta said best show was Metallica and GNR, Guns N' Roses, at the Superdome. Faith No More played in between, but it was like intermission after they played their song, played the song Epic. Faith No More, fantastic. They were a fantastic band. Bob says Guy Lombardo at the Jones Beach Theater. Guy Lombardo. let's see.
Does he only have one song and it's played one day?
I think so. Terry says Kiss Destroyer tour in 1976. I'm jealous of that, Terry. Oh, then he says, oops, I was wrong. It was Ernest Tubbs, Okaloosa County Fair, 68.
Well, we've hit them all here. We've hit all the bases. Guy Lombardo, Ernest Tubbs, and Kiss.
And Guns N' Roses coming up twice, and Dave Matthews Band. Yeah. There you go. From the full list of great concerts.
Yeah, except Guy Lombardo.
Yeah.
Jones Beach, is that is on Long Island. I know that. So, pretty interesting.
Two things I'm not familiar with, Guy Lombardo or Long Island.
Yeah, you're not missing a darn thing. Brooks Conkle with the Mobile Rundown on the way. Good morning from Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan, who's in for Dalton Orwood. Big stories today.
And we got a winner, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's. I think we've got to... Do we have to... Did we retally the weather winner, too?
Yeah, there was some of that going on. There's some disagreement there with the weekend weather scale. Listen, I washed my hands of the whole thing, so I was not...
Coward.
Here I sit. No, just math challenged.
I got it. Cindy Green was the winner of the... Doobie Brothers tickets. That's one of the big events that we'll talk to Brooks Conkle about here in just a moment. And there was a Gary who was claiming that he actually, hey, I won the weekend weather scale. All right, come on in and get your autographed copy of the Marine Almanac and knock yourself out. Brooks Conkle from the Mobile Rundown on the line right now. Brooks, good for you that you're safely at home and not embroiled in all these phone line controversies wet here at FM Talk 106.5.
I'm trying to stay safe. I'm staying out of it, man.
The public is fickle. We talked about the Doobies, obviously. You got a number of events, that Blue Marlin Grand Championship down at the Wharf, too. That's going to be great. That's happening today and tomorrow. And you've got some more items that we should be aware of, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that'll be, those are obviously big things. So here, kind of more closer to town here, right in Mobile, you still have like community market going on at the Central Presbyterian Church, which is pretty cool. There's a big, so if you want like a Christmas in July kind of shopping extravaganza for your shoppers, there's a Christmas in July boutique bash. They've been doing that actually for a number of years. It's out at the grounds.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is, I feel like at least a handful of years. I think that thing's gotten bigger and bigger. So that's over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking at on the Mobile Rundown. There's a picture of the event, and it's either well attended or there's a bunch of gifts there or both. But
It looks like they got a bunch of friends to show up for a picture. I don't know. I think it's a pretty big event that they put on out there.
Good marketing on their part for sure. The summer at the Pact. What is that all about?
So that's like a summer camp. There's a lot of folks doing summer camps, and we're trying to list a bunch of those as well, right? You have parents, obviously parents. I mean, summer's kind of wrapping up, but still, parents are still kind of desperate for things. What can they do? So yeah, that's a summer camp at the PAC for acting,
which is a great. Let me just add a great facility.
You know about it.
Well, that's where my daughter is. They currently have Legally Blonde going on. My wife does the costumes for it and all that. You have like. Half of their life is spent at that place. Yes. We're very familiar with that place.
Wow, that is great. That is great.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And so we went to the opening night of Legally Blonde, and like for the media night, we were blown away. We thought it was incredible, and we spoke very highly of it. And that show, I think, is still going through until like the 31st.
That's right. It is. I know the schedule on the refrigerator at home will tell you, like, you know, you had show last night, you have show tonight, you have show tomorrow night. You have matinee on Sunday. Then the next weekend, same deal.
Wow. So what role is your
A backing role in this one.
Okay.
A backing role.
Has she ever had a starring role?
She's been up front in quite a few of them. So,
wow.
Yeah. And
if folks hadn't seen Legally Blonde, I'll say it again. People, if you hadn't seen the show, like, go out and see it.
They do a great job.
There's two real dogs in that thing.
Yes.
And they were excellent.
Yes, we've talked about the size of one of the dogs, but that's another discussion.
Actor dogs, huh? Actor dogs right here.
Actor dogs, man.
Right here in Mobile.
Yep.
There's
local
also,
actor dogs.
That's the kind of celebrities in a way. We've got to give them some airtime here. There's also something that's happening like around downtown or this kind of a chef challenge, Mobtown Vegan Chef Challenge. How does that work?
Yeah, so, like, I don't know the complete... It's funny, I'm actually looking a little bit deeper into it right before we hopped on the call. So there's a number of restaurants in town that are participating in this thing, and I think the goal, and I'm looking at it right now, there's a number. Even like, some brewery, like Iron Hand Brewing is even hopping on board. So I feel like the intention is to highlight, you know, veganism, and they're saying, hey, man, this can be good, too. And so it's kind of a competition kind of thing. So I'm curious to see if this turns into an annual chef challenge in town. But yeah, definitely interesting. People can hop on and look at the restaurants that are
a
part of it.
So the Sanger's kind of busy this weekend with the movies, right?
So let's see, I've got that coming up. Are they starting this weekend? I've got on the 28th, I know they've got Pretty in Pink. They may be starting that this weekend, but yeah, they are starting the summer movie classics, and those are cool. Like, yeah, we've been to those before too. If people haven't been to the Sanger to check out one of the classic movies, it's definitely fun.
You'll like
fun
this. To get there, I think one of the movies is Blazing Saddles.
They bring every year a bunch of old classics in there. If they're doing Blazing Saddles, then I'm in.
Blazing Saddles, The Goonies, they've got that.
So classic.
There's nice throwbacks here. Brooks, if people want to find out more about the rundown and also if they've got an event or something that they've got going on, you know, they'd like to run by you to see if they can be part of the rundown, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they can just hop to our website or they can Google the Mobile Rundown. So themobilerundown.com, and they can figure it out from there.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for hopping on with us today. We appreciate it a lot.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Brooks Kunkel, the Mobile Rundown. There you go.
Yeah, second here, they have they're going to do the cooking challenge, the vegan cooking challenge, right?
Yeah.
Where they'll probably use that, some of the, maybe the Beyond. I don't know what the rules are if they're going to use that fake meat stuff, which brings me back to my idea from years ago. I'm just waiting for some crowdsource funding. I'm going to create meat vegetables. We're going to make vegetables out of meat.
That's kind of...
See what I'm saying? Like, because they're taking this meat thing with the fake meat, the Beyond Meat and all that stuff. So then we're going to take my idea here. We're going to take meat and craft it into lettuce and bell peppers.
Do you have any idea how you're going to do that?
But no, I'm the idea guy.
You're not the execution guy.
I'll have some people wearing white lab coats that'll walk around with clipboards, and they'll figure it out. But think about that. Think about how, you know, everybody's on this, we're going to do this Beyond Meat stuff here. But what I'm going to do is going to be like Beyond Vegetable. We'll say we take these steaks and we turn them into carrots.
Yeah.
Take a fish and turn it into a piece of lettuce.
For a guy that eats a salad every day, and I don't mix my salad with any kind of, I don't have a chicken in there or anything like that. So it's strictly just the greens and stuff. I don't...
But what if I could provide you a salad that was made out of pork?
Huh? Well, you could put pork in the salad, couldn't you?
No. I'm going to take pork and create lettuce out of it. See? Beyond Vegetable. The new idea coming from Sean Sullivan Industries.
If you can do it, Kreskin, go ahead.
All right.
I don't know how that would be done.
Jeff, that's the magic.
Jeff Porcio's on the way. And Mobile Mornings. See you on Monday morning.